Cats Nation, get ready, because it's time for some Drake mayhem with Fitzy and Chime on WEEI.
Chime, where does this one fall on your favorite Rolling Stones songs of all time?
Which one is this one?
Give Me Shelter.
Not in my top five.
Not in your top five?
No.
There is a little
duck.
Okay, go.
Let's see. Off the top of my dome, Tumbling Dice. Beast of Burden.
Oh yeah.
She's So Cold? Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
That one. Wild Horses, right? That's
Wild Horses.
Yep.
They couldn't drag me away, and they won't drag us away for another 52 minutes.
Oh man, what's number five?
Paint It Black.
Yeah,
it's
overrated, in my opinion.
Wait, hold on a second. Wait, Joe Braverman, can you pull up Paint It Black right now?
I will gladly do that and prove Shime wrong.
It's a great song, but the opening drum beats,
just like When the Levee Breaks by Zeppelin, will never be overrated.
It's one of those things. No, okay, maybe overrated is the wrong word. It is overly popular. It's like super popular, so for me, it can't ever be.
Oh my God, it's really good. My spine is tingling.
Start me up. That's what's number five.
Start me up over this.
Yep.
Stop it.
Yeah, I'm a start me up guy. This is fine.
This song isn't this. Oh,
come now.
Oh. Also, you're also speaking to a generation of music that is a little outside of my necessary wheelhouse. I would say, like, I like the Stones. I understand their impact on music as a whole, but they're definitely not like one of my favorite bands. Not even close.
I wonder if Greg would agree with me. My favorite Rolling Stone, my favorite Led Zeppelin, excuse me, my favorite Aerosmith album is Toys in the Attic.
Okay.
And my favorite, I like going on the, not necessarily all full deep cuts, but in the way back when I think a band was truest and purest, like in my favorite AC/DC album, you know, Dirty Deeds. Because I was a Bon Scott
Dirty
guy.
Dirty Deeds Done Cheap. Dirt Cheap.
Yes. That album is just, you know, everyone's always like, no, it's the, you know, everything with Brian Johnson. It's, you know, Hell's Bells. No. The Black Album. No. It is not. It's in the way back. For those about to rock, great album, but it was better earlier. Let It Bleed is my favorite Stones album by far. There's not a single bad song. Always just like I could listen to that album. That could potentially even be my Desert Island album if I had to pick only one album to listen to. For the rest of time,
only one album. Oh.
Have you ever done the Desert Island album?
No. Immediately, three come to mind.
Talk to me.
Four. So, it very different genres here too, which is kind of wild, right? So, I would either lean "Homesick" by A Day to Remember. To me, it is the greatest. It is the most perfect pop punk album ever released in the history of mankind. It will never be topped. No skips. Like it is, and it opens. In a way that no other album has ever opened. It's amazing, in my opinion. It is also on my Instagram story. You can go see it. Shine Time 12 happens to be the song I put behind my Instagram post earlier. Anyways, that would be one. OAR's XX album would be up there. J. Cole, 2014 Forest Hills Drive, is a no-skip rap album with zero singles, and it is amazing. It's my favorite rap album of all time.
Which one is that one again?
2014 Forest Hills Drive. It went double platinum, I believe, with zero singles. It's remarkable. And then, oh man, yeah, it would probably come down to those three, I think.
Okay. Would it surprise you in the least if I were to say that I have never listened to any of those three albums?
No, not at all. I wouldn't have even guessed that you did. I would have wagered everything I owned that you probably. I don't even know that you've heard of A Day to Remember.
Probably not.
Yeah, I didn't think so. That's fine. And that's fine. That's okay.
Okay,
a lot of people.
Fine.
I bet a lot of our listening audience has not. But there are some out there who are like, "Yes, Shibe, way to go!" And you're welcome.
Braverman, anyone on the text line at 37937 agree or vehemently disagree with me on "Let It Bleed" as a Rolling Stones classic?
Nothing on that. But 603 just came in and said that the Eagles' Greatest Hits Volume 1 would be an album they take to the island.
You know what?
Okay.
Hold on.
I'm an Eagles guy. I like the Eagles. I'm into this.
Okay. Eagles Greatest Hits Volume 1. The track listing on that, holy smokes. Listen to this. Take It Easy.
Banger.
Lion Eyes. Desperado. Tequila Sunrise. Peaceful Easy Feeling. Witchy Woman. Already Gone. One of These Nights. Take It to the Limit. Best of My... That's tough to top. That's a tough one to top.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think we are just in two very different ages of me. Ooh, I have an album for you that I would take that is more up your alley. I would probably take, which one though? I would definitely take a Springsteen album. Like if you could take five, my fifth one would be a Springsteen album. I'm not 100% sure which one. Probably
Tunnel of Love?
No. Are you not a Springsteen guy?
Oh, I am definitely a Springsteen guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got nervous for a second.
No. God, I mean, if you're not a Springsteen guy, then just you'd move to Canada.
Well, yeah, I just would assume you'd have no relationship to baseball if you're not a Springsteen guy. Yeah, I'd probably take Born to Run or The River, but that's just me.
Fine choices indeed. All of them. You know what? Now the problem is we've talked music so long.
That's
now
fine.
we got to bump our. We can get into our segment. All right. So real quick, we'll set this up. This is a new little thing Shime and I want to do each and every time we're on the radio, because people say so often sports radio can be a bit much because, well, it's all sports. I can't do all the analytics, the analysis, the takes, the shouting, the yelling, the toxic masculinity, whatever it may be. Or more often than not, just plain the negativity. Shime and I are more, I would say, tend to be very positive, upbeat guys who are in it to win it, and mostly love celebrating the things that make us happy in this life. So Shime recently stumbled upon the TikTok series of John Gruden analysis videos.
The greatest internet video in existence.
Truly, truly the only follow everyone needs to make right now is on TikTok. Get on TikTok. And then get prepared to watch a bunch of different recipe hacks, makeup tutorials, and other nonsense. And then get ready for John Gruden. And, of course, John Gruden, his signature tagline is...
Feeling really nicey.
Got me feeling really nicey. That's his signature tagline. And Shime, every time he hears that, gets all hype and feels
so
real nicey. So we decided to just have a little back and forth with each other on the things that got us feeling really nicey. And I'm going to start, Shime. You know what's got me feeling real nicey?
What's that?
This freaking weather. Holy mackerel. Can someone remember a time where the fall absolutely didn't just surpass, but dominated and crushed the summer weather? It's got me feeling real nicey,
Joe. It's got me feeling so nicey, Fitzy. I got to tell you, another thing that's got me feeling unbelievably nicey, the fact that the Celtics start in 3 days. And you align that. Yes, and you align that with the Bruins and football all at the same time. It is the perfect sports season in existence.
Feeling really nicey.
Oh, it's got me feeling so nicey, Fitzy.
Okay, you know what's got me feeling real nicey
right now,
Sean?
What's got you feeling nicey, Fitzy?
The flood of memories that comes through, especially with social media these days, related to how great we had it in Boston sports a while ago. Someone recently said to me, is it too obnoxious that every October around this time of year, that we start seeing all of the David Ortiz home runs, the Dave Roberts steal, the Johnny Damon grand slam, the final out, the bloody sock, and it's mixed sometimes with the Kenbrell Tompkins pass from Tom Brady. And oh my God, did we have too much for too long? And is that why everybody hates us because they ain't us? Probably, but you know what? It just gets me back in my feels. We had so much for so long that it's not that we're stuck in living in the past, like a lot of people accuse Bostonians of being too nostalgic. It's that we had just such a luxury of riches that we just get to bring it all up and celebrate it and look for little moments and nuances every year. Each and every time I see it, it's got me feeling nice.
Got me feeling nice.
Woo! Oh, Fitzy, I got to tell you, the other thing that got me feeling real nicey lately, I just for the first time ever tried a crumble cookie.
Are you kidding? You just finally discovered Crumble?
Yes, I just had one, and it was like a cornbread-style cookie. And Fitzy, when I tell you there's not a man in the tri-state area that loves cornbread the way I love cornbread, it's got me feeling so nicey, Fitzy. Oh, God, I love cornbread. So I stumbled on this Crumble cookie, and it was so good. good. I had like two bites. I'm like, you have to, I said to Lauren, I was like, you have to take this away from me now. Otherwise, I am going to have to go to the gym for like an hour and 50 minutes and then never eat another sweet for a year because I'm going to eat 1,000 of those.
All right, fine. You know what else has got me feeling nice?
What's got you feeling real nicey, Fitzy?
All these fall flavors, it starts with
you're
the
a
October.
Pumpy guy.
All starts with the Oktoberfest beer. Oh, no, pumpkin spice has been voted off the island.
Oh.
It's too basic. No, okay. I can't. It's fine. It's not what I celebrate. I don't live for it. I don't need to be basic and hashtag post about it. But I'll tell you, the fall beers, Marzen beers, Oktoberfest beers. And then I got to tell you, dude, I love going to like pumpkin patches. You do the Instagram photos with the kids. And then while you're there, you pick up some sort of homemade pie that costs 3 times what it would normally cost from the grocery store. But holy smokes. Holy mackerel, are they so good every time. And then sometimes they're also built on or around a local dairy. I had a cup last Saturday of this local dairy's ice cream. It was a salted caramel pretzel ice cream. I swear to God, I just looked at my wife and I was just like, sorry, lady, but this is
my new partner for life. You're going to hit the road.
I couldn't help it. God, it was so good. Had me feeling real nicey.
Oh, you know what else makes me feel real nicey, Fitzy? A perfectly cooked steak.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, when you hit a steak just right on the grill at medium rare,
it's a perfect day for it too, Shime.
Today's going to be the perfect day. I'm going to go home from here. Unfortunately, I have a dinner date with my mother this evening, so I can't cook a steak tonight. But tomorrow when it's also going to be beautiful out, right in the middle of 4 o'clock football, get out there with an IPA in my hand, slap a steak right on the grill, nice. Get that to a perfect medium rare. It's got me feeling real nicey, Fitzy.
Feeling really nicey.
Of course, you're going to get feeling real and nicey after the Patriots win. You win a lot of money tomorrow. You call into the Six Rings postgame show with your Drake May report card. Afterwards, you celebrate. Get that steak going, medium rare, cold beverage in hand, 70 and sunny outside. That's got everyone feeling real nicey. And by the way, everyone, it's going to be almost 80 degrees on Monday. If all this doesn't have you feeling real nicey, then there's not much that we can do for you.
Oh, 6-1.
Got me feeling nicey. 617-779-7937 if you want to chime in. Go ahead on the text line, 37937. Tell us what's got you feeling nicey. When we come back, I'll tell you what else is going to feel nicey. When Shime gives you some winning bets as we preview Week 7 in the NFL. But first, speaking of things that got me feeling nicey, it's a sports news update with Joe Braverman.
Got me feeling nicey.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Final injury report is out for the Patriots from overseas. They're gearing up for their matchup against the Jaguars in London. Drake May was removed. He's been bothered by that knee, but he is clean off the injury report. Ramondre Stevenson did log full participation in practice yesterday after 5 straight DNPs. He's been dealing with a foot issue. He's questionable, but he told the media he should be ready to go. Also, veteran cornerback Jonathan Jones, questionable with a shoulder injury. Tackle Vidarian Lowe has been ruled out with an ankle injury. For Jacksonville, starting running back Travis Etienne was limited all week with a hamstring issue. He's also questionable. Pats and Jags kick it off from Wembley Stadium at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Bruins resume their current road trip tonight against the Utah Hockey Club. Puck drop scheduled for 9 o'clock. Yankees now sit 1 win away from the World Series after last night's 8-6 Game 4 win over the Guardians. They can close out the ALCS tonight in Game 5. First pitch from Cleveland at 8:08. Meanwhile, the Mets stayed alive with the Game 5 win at home, 12-6 over the Dodgers. Dodgers still lead the NLCS 3-2 as the series shifts back to L.A. tomorrow night. The Celtics officially waived Lonnie Walker IV and kept their 15th roster spot open. Walker is likely to join the Celtics G League team up in Maine. The slate of college football Saturday is headlined by 5th-ranked Georgia visiting top-ranked Texas. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of that game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7 o'clock. And the Revolution end their season in Florida against Lionel Messi and Inter-Miami CF tonight at 6. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
If I'm sitting there as a Patriots fan looking at my team, I got excited watching Drake May play. Now, does that mean he's going to be super successful this year? I don't know because of everything they have around him. I don't know if it's exactly set up for success this season. But watching him start out a little rough in that game, then at the end of the first half there, throw that ball, the 40-yard touchdown right before the end of the half was awesome. because it shows some resiliency. It shows some guts to stand in there, make that throw. And then the second half, he came out and did some more. Obviously, kind of the fluky interception that he had, ideal. But truthfully, when you see a guy that can withstand some early pressure, mentally overcome that, and then go out there and make some great plays throughout the game, I think he's only going to get better with time.
A regular guest on the Pat McAfee Show on Mondays that isn't Bill Belichick or Adam Schefter, and also one of the new members of the CBS NFL Sunday program. That would be Justin James, J.J. Watt, telling Pats fans that they got something in this Drake May. And I tend to agree with them as well, and that's why we walked away from last Sunday's game. Not often do you walk away from a game that's a 20-point loss feeling as good as most of us did, because in the face of a hell of a pass rush and a really good football team that was running roughshod across your defense, Drake May played the part of a future under center, made his mistakes. The learning curve is underway, and boy, did he give us a couple of flashes to get excited about. That's why Shyam and I are big in on the Patriots tomorrow. We think they'll cover the spread, and we think the over is a tasty little bet. And I'm even going so far as to say I think the Patriots, in a game that could be the most fun to watch the rest of the way, have a shot to win. But that is just but one game of many tomorrow on a slate chock full of gridiron excitement on a beautiful fall afternoon. By the way, Shyam, I don't know if you know this, but earlier this week, they nominated 25 contributors. It's like the quarterfinalist list. It's a semifinalist list for one person to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame next year as a contributor.
Okay.
They do this every year. And Robert Kraft is one of the 25 on that list. So that's really cool. It's going to be tough for him, though, to make it in against some of the other incredible nominees that are on this list, including someone even Bill Belichick would probably say deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame, and he hasn't been with us for a long time. That would be the legendary voice of NFL films, John Facenda. Remember that?
Yes.
Anytime, you know, when you watch the highlights, there's that great guy, like,
the autumn wind is a raider.
Oh,
Your palms will thicken the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome guy to put in. I think that's perfect. When I remember watching those games, you'd stay home sick from school, and you toss on NFL films, and they'd be playing like the old Cowboys 49ers NFC Championship games, or they'd bring back the old Denver Broncos runs prior to when they actually won games in the late 90s there, way back when John Elway was just a young stud in the league. Even some of those Dan Marino games. Yeah, I'm in. I love that.
Here's a bunch of people, like, you know, all due respect to Mr. Kraft for everything he has done for the New England Patriots, for the region, all of us. He deserves a place in there, and he should absolutely get in ASA MFP. And I hope he gets to do it in his lifetime so he can appreciate it, although a lot of these things are done posthumously. You got Bud Adams from the Titans Oilers franchise. Chris Berman.
I love Berman.
I mean, this guy right here. I mean, I think
he should have been in 10 years ago.
Yeah.
No kidding. How about Howard Cosell? I mean, come on now. Howard Cosell is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame yet. The original voice of Monday Night Football. How about John Facenda? Let's see. We also have Robert Kraft. Rich McKay, general manager of the Buccaneers, the Falcons. Let's see, John McVay. Art Modell, he's probably not getting in. Art Rooney Jr., Amy Trask, CEO of the Raiders from 97 to 2013, and a great voice. And how about Doug Williams, the old quarterback who won a Super Bowl with
the Washington team.
The Washington Washington Redskins. Credited with creating opportunities for future black athletes and NFL players. A real trailblazer in the NFL, professional sports, and especially at the quarterback position. So some significant contributors nominated. One will get in. The other 24 will hope to make it another year as well. Anyway, let's get back to that slate coming up. All right, Shyam. Tomorrow, give the people the first game that just jumps off the board for you, where you just look at it and think, ooh, this spread, this game's got me feeling real nicey.
Yeah, I got to go to Houston and Green Bay here. I'm going to take the Texans and take the points here. They're +3 at Green Bay. I just think the Texans are a better team. I think Green Bay's defense is kind of faulty. I don't think they're very good. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Houston is a far more complete team. And that NFC North race is going to come down to, in my opinion, the Vikings and the Lions, which is also a game tomorrow that I just don't want to pick. I'd rather just watch that game. But I like the Texans heading to Green Bay. Everybody's like, oh, they got to go outside. And they got, it's going to be like a crisp 55. It was colder here last week, and it was rainy and gross. And C.J. Stroud still lit it up. I think Joe Mixon's going to have a huge day tomorrow for the Texans. Give me the Texans plus three at Green Bay.
Let me give you, there's a couple of games tomorrow that have do not touch but will properly enjoy. We gave you our picks on Patriots, Jaguars. I, too, don't want to make a pick in Lions, Vikings. I think the Vikings are a 2.5-point home favorite.
1.5.
Down to 1.5. Okay. Yep. The Lions are awesome. They did just lose Aiden Hutchinson as well. There's a couple of teams they could probably look to make a trade from before Election Day, which also happens to be NFL trade deadline day. Titans, Bills, that should be an absolute boat race in Amari Cooper's debut. Seahawks, Falcons could be a tight one. Dolphins, Colts, I have no idea what to do with. Bengals, Browns. However, straight up, Jaden Daniels easily covers the 7.5-point spread when the Panthers visit our nation's capital tomorrow. One of those bounce back days to me. Last week he was trying to keep up with LaMarvelous. They look good, not great at times, but he still had a fantasy wise, statistically plus oriented day. Tomorrow, like, the Panthers come in, they stink.
I would like to ask respectfully, where you getting 7.5, bro? This game's up to 9.5 now.
Are you kidding? I'm working with the early stats. You know what? I'll take it at 9.5 still.
I was going to say
it's got a 10-point win easy.
I was like, I don't know what book you're at, but send me in that direction. I want 7.5 all day. Yeah, this game's up to 9.5 in a lot of spots, and I still don't hate the pick, right? I think the Commanders are awesome. The Panthers are not that great. I think the other play, too, in this game is the over, right? I just think there's going to be a ton of points scored. Washington's defense has been spotty at best, but that offense has been electric. So I don't hate the 9.5. I also really like the over.
What's the over-under in this one?
51.5. It's a high number, but at the same time.
That's funny because I could see 34-20 final.
Easily. Like, that's the kind of scoring output this game could have, for sure. Andy Dalton's a capable quarterback. Carolina will score.
Oh, they will, for sure. Absolutely. Plus, you got a couple guys, as Adam Schefter told us earlier this week on the afternoon show on EEI, that are looking to get out of there real quick, and they're all trade candidates to A, let the young guys get some work, and B, build some draft capital back up for a Panthers team that squandered a ton of it just to get Bryce Young, who is riding pine and holding a virtual clipboard these days for the Panthers. A miserable franchise these days. Got to kind of tell you, tomorrow, 425, the big game at the 425 slot, America's game, if you will. I love the 49ers over the Chiefs coming off a bye.
Oh, God, I would love that. I'm not confident enough to take it. The only way I would play this game is in a tease. I just think that the Chiefs getting two right now, you pair them with the Lions, so you get them at Lions at 7.5, Chiefs at 8, I think is the only way I would play this game. Outside of that, I'm not touching this game. The Chiefs just have just been, they're 5-0, but they have just been playing ugly football. It is not appealing in any way. Patrick Mahomes is like literally unusable in fantasy football for those of us who play. And so I want nothing to do with this game because any time in my life I bet against Patrick Mahomes, I lose. So I'd rather just step aside and not do that.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Raiders tomorrow get a little bit of a got rid of Devontae, like Ewing theory bump, plus the now that Tom Brady is officially a part owner of the... I can't stand that. That video earlier this week made me sick.
I bet it did.
Watching Brady walk into the facility in Vegas and get a round of applause from 300 Raiders staff members, and then the letter he wrote, like... reading Tom Brady writing in a social media post, just win, baby, restoring the Raiders to their previous glory. Gross. This coming off of Brady night. I am Tom Brady, and I am a Patriot, but also a future owner of the Las Vegas Raiders and a mediocre analyst on Fox.
Yeah, I don't think the Raiders will be getting any boost in this game whatsoever. I think the Raiders kind of stink. The guy, though, that I would be targeting without Devontae Adams there and the way that offense is moving, Brock Bowers all day, man.
He's going to feed, isn't he?
60-plus for Brock Bowers is sitting at minus 130. I love that. Also, could get a return of Cooper Kupp in this
game
for the Rams. If he does play, you're going to get numbers like you've never seen before with Cooper Kupp because he's coming off the injury. So if he does play, I am hammering every Cooper Kupp bet because they are going to be too low.
Do you like anything else on the board tomorrow?
Yeah, so the in the Falcons-Seahawks game that you mentioned already, I think that's going to be a high-scoring game. The Seahawks defense is not good. They have had to pass more than just about any other team in football. I know their pass rate over expectation is number one in football.
And Geno Smith is number one in yards in the NFL.
Yeah,
right,
so I kind of look at it from that angle with the Seahawks. I want to bet on DK Metcalf, 70-plus. Seems real nice to me. I also really like the idea of Jaxon Smith-Njigba to have over 50 yards in that game. And then from the Falcons' perspective, I want to bet on Algier and Bijan. Like, those two guys, if you want to put them together, one of the cool things about same-game parlays, when you have contradicting ideas, it's going to give you better odds. So, like, if you bet for two guys on the same team to both have a high amount of rushing yards, it's going to give you way better odds than if it was two guys on separate teams, right? Mm-hmm. So pairing Bijan and Algier in a same-game parlay sounds really fun to me. I also just think betting Bijan to have, I think the number right now is 62.5. Mm-hmm. 63.5, sorry, on Bijan, I think is really
rush good. Or total yards?
Rushing.
Okay. Yeah, Algier has kind of been a TD. He's like nicely sidled into contemporary touchdown vulture hammer type role for the Falcons recently, which is...
Yeah, I mean, he had 100 yards in that last game. He is just a great change of pace back for them, very different than what Bijan is, and it's a way for them to kind of make sure Bijan stays healthy for the entire year, which I don't blame them for, because come playoff time, which I think this team will be in the playoffs, they're going to need Bijan Robinson if they want to have success.
All right, let's look to tomorrow's nightcap and then the double Monday Night Footballer, which I don't love. Has it? I love two Monday Night Football games. I hate the fact that one is airing exclusively on ESPN+. How many people have ESPN Plus?
I have ESPN Plus. You don't have ESPN Plus?
I did, and then my subscription ran out, and so I didn't read it.
Well, I have it because my household loves to watch hockey, so we watch all of the out-of-market hockey games on ESPN Plus, which is tremendous. So I will be watching both of these games on Monday night. But on Sunday night, too, like, that's going to be an ugly game.
You've got to go under on that, right? Or is that too predictable?
I'm not going to touch the total. I think the only way I approach this game is I would want Davante Adams props, because all reports are he already looks great with Aaron Rodgers. They're best friends. They're going to sling the rock around the yard in that game. And I would bet against the Steelers. I think going away from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson is just like a bad karma move. Justin Fields is 4-2. He has been the reason the Steelers offense has had success, even though he hasn't been tremendous. He hasn't been bad. I think he has 10 total touchdowns to one interception. He's been good for them, and they're moving away from him, which doesn't make sense to me. So in my idea, in my head, that is a pure karma play against the Steelers. I like the Jets.
Yeah, are they doing this just because they want to see if they can generate more offense? Is this because they had, like,
I don't,
is this
why,
a, we made a promise like we did to Brissett? This feel like, I understand why the Patriots had to move away from Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, you're 4-2. The Steelers are 4-2. You shouldn't be moving away from your quarterback. Because now, if Russell Wilson sucks, you can't go back to Justin Fields, because then you're doing what Belichick did last year with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. You're just yo-yoing quarterbacks out there just because you want to. It's dumb. You should have just ridden with Justin Fields until he exploded, and then when he exploded, that's when you put in Russell Wilson. But I guess Mike Tomlin just wants to be as close to 500 as he can.
So we don't expect. So you're not expecting very much positive in terms of QB yardage and fantasy points for Russell Wilson.
No,
coming off of 2 months extra rest with that calf muscle issue against the Jets.
No,
Jets defense, by the way, sneaky overrated.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Actually, I think the Steelers defense is awesome, and they are going to be. It is going to be unfortunate that they're going to Russell Wilson, because I don't think that's what Arthur Smith wants as the offensive coordinator. I think he wants to keep Justin Fields on the field.
All right, and then the Monday night doubleheader, first one, 8:15 on the proper broadcast networks, Ravens at Buccaneers, 9 o'clock, Chargers and Jim Harbaugh proving that old school militant disciplinarian style football can and does thrive in the NFL if you do it correctly, on the road against Kyler of Duty and the very disappointing Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, the first game here is going to be a lot of fun. Bucks Ravens is just a great football game. I would go over in this game. I think the Ravens defense has been spotty at times. They haven't been great. They do allow points, but they're also going to score a ton. I think Lamar Jackson could be the first quarterback since Brett Favre to go three-peat at the MVP. He's playing that well. He is that good. And then So I would go over in that game.
Good thing
really
we didn't trade
play.
A couple of picks for him last year. I was we did. I'm so glad Mr. Kraft revealed that Meek Mill said that Lamar wanted to play for the Patriots, but we stuck with Mack and Zappe.
So dumb. The one thing to watch entering that game, though, Mike Evans is a game-time decision, so that's kind of a spot there for the Buccaneers. And then
the underrated receiver of this generation. Still, 11, approaching 11 straight seasons, Shine, with 1,000 yards.
He's awesome.
He's still underrated.
Yeah, I love Mike Evans. I always have, always will. And then in that later game, I would go under. The Chargers games, you can go back and look. They have not been very high scoring, to say the least. I don't think they've even gotten to this 44 number once. So last week, 23-16, 17-10, 20-10, 26-3, 22-10. The most points that have been scored in a Chargers game all year has been 39. They haven't even come close to this 44 number. I will go under Chargers Cardinals on Monday Night Football.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. with the concussion symptoms, questionable for the game as well. Yeah, that's a Chargers money line and under spot for me as well. By the way, did you make any money on the Thursday night affair with the Broncos? You like the under in that game, and I thought the under was cruising, and all of a sudden it finished 33-10.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you get a defensive score, unfortunately. So the under didn't hit, but we did hit on Cedric Wilson, 25-plus receiving yards. He actually had 50 and a touchdown, which is great. We also cashed on Juwan Johnson over 2.5 catches. He had exactly 3, so we worked out. It worked out perfectly for us there on Thursday night.
Love to hear it. 617-779-7937. That's our action. Those are our picks for Pats at Jags and the rest of the Week 7 NFL slate. When we come back, we will put a bow on this puppy. It has been a grand time. Feeling nicey-nicey here on WEEI with Fitzy and Shime. Don't you go anywhere. I had a feeling the Arctic Monkeys and this particularly awesome song, this banger, would be factoring into the all-English rock song rejoins today as we prepare ourselves for tomorrow morning's brunch ball. 9:30 on the NFL Network, seen locally on WCVB Channel 5. Of course, you can listen to it on the radio as well with local and national feeds covering it. It is a prime opportunity, Shime. It is a prime spot for the world to see the the potentially disjointed mess the Patriots can be at times. The defense struggling, not being what it should be. Some of the penalties they've had. If they could cut it down tomorrow, no special teams penalties, you know, no mishaps, no false starts. I mean, that's talk about asking for way too much for Christmas in October. And they could see Drake May and Pop Douglas and Booty making things happen tomorrow. It certainly wouldn't convince anyone, oh my God, I think the Pats are back. But they would actually, they're going to have all eyes on them tomorrow to make a show for themselves and to just like look like fun, look like an enjoyable watch, because they don't get primetime games anymore. They had one Thursday night game. It was awful. And they won't be on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football the rest of the season. And they're probably not getting flexed in there as well. This is the closest thing they have to a good and proper nationally showcased forum for Drake. Have a little, you know what? A little Drake May coming out party tomorrow.
That'd be nice. I would love that. I think you're right. It is their last opportunity to do that, barring some random flex late in the season, which I don't expect because this team's just not very good. It is going to be their last opportunity to catch national eyes and impress. And you're lucky that you're drawing a defense that isn't good. This Jacksonville defense is not good. They stink. They are horrible. You have an opportunity here to come out and really light it up a little bit on offense in a way you haven't done all season. Last week was good. It was solid against a very good Texans defense. But this week, you could be awesome. You could have a lot of fun. You could make it known that this Patriots offense can be good and can have some fun and be enjoyable to watch. I think that's like the most important thing for Patriots fans is we just want to see good football for like the first time in years. Like, just give us good football,
please. Is that so wrong? Am I asking too much?
No, I don't think you are. Like, it's just we just want a good offensive product. Please, God, give it to us.
Right. And if they lose by 5.5 points,
yeah, that's fine. Who cares?
Just don't push it past 6 unless, of course, you tease them into something. But they don't really. I mean, Pats aren't a tease candidate tomorrow, right? I mean, who would you want to tease it up to 12?
I don't know. I mean, you could, I guess, theoretically, but they don't necessarily encourage that. I mean, you are pushing through 7. The strong number of 7 and 9 and 10. So, like, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And big favor, like, big dogs this year have been good. a lot of times. I mean, especially in those first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, 7-point dogs were crushing against the spread. So, you know, if you want to go for it, go for it. Like, if you wanted to tease the Pats in the over tomorrow, I don't. I'm fine with that. I'm not gonna criticize you. You do what you want, bruh. Mm-hmm. You do what you want. I'm not gonna say it's a terrible thing because I like the over and I don't hate the plus six. So I mean, do what you want.
You do you, bro. And by the way, the rest of the day, you got some great college football to enjoy to keep you company until you go nighty night and then wakey wakey with a little Patriots football.
Or if you're gonna be slinging it late tonight, you got the Bruins in Utah taking on the Utah Hockey Club, baby.
On ESPN Plus on the national, wouldn't you know, as well?
Yeah, it'll be good.
Alabama at Tennessee, 3:30. Fantastic game.
Texas, Georgia.
Come on. 5-1, and 5 is a wagon, and 1 looks unbeaten. I don't know. I kind of like Georgia in that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Longhorns. I'll ride with Scottie Scheffler. Did you see Scheffler today on game day, by the way?
Yeah, in the green jacket. What a flex.
And on top of that, he was asked to pick the Louisville-Miami game, and he said, you know, no offense to Louisville. Great people, great city. But, yeah, Miami's going to wax them today. And for those who don't know, Scottie Scheffler was arrested in Louisville trying to play a major there. So that was an all-time flex by Scheffler.
Boom, roasted
it. Yeah, loved it.
38-31 right now as the fourth quarter has just gotten underway. So anyone who took the over in Miami at Louisville, congratulations to you. It should be a very Merry Christmas. I had another bet I wanted to offer up. Piece of advice. Pats fans, if you also happen to have the Georgia versus Texas game on tonight, keep your eye on Texas Longhorns left tackle.
Yes.
Kelvin Banks Jr.,
yep.
Possibly the number one overall pick next year, or definitely a top five draft pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
Number one Patriots target, baby. Kelvin Banks.
That is the top of my 2025 wish list for the Patriots as well. All right. Jolly good show, Shime.
Excellent job by you, Fitzy, good sir.
Indeed, and as well, if you enjoyed the program today, then congratulations, Joe. Way to go.
Off to have some tea and crumpets.
And if not, blame Braverman. This was a blast. Joe Braverman, great job. Thank you, Justin Turpin, who came in today, talked some Celtics with us in the second hour as well. We will now pass the baton across the commercial portal to your 3-6 program, KJ and Lyons, who will continue with all the great sports talk here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM, WEEI. See you, everybody.
Cheerio.